you know, when we said the Lord's Prayer this morning, you know, it says, God lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, the mother was teaching her, she was the wife of a pastor, and the mother was teaching her four-year-old the Lord's Prayer. And, of course, when they got to that part, this is how he said it. This is what he says. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from people. And yeah, that does, it does have a funny thing to it, but how true that is, temptation. So, and you say, well, Bonnie, I don't think that's in the dictionary. Well, if we were to break that word up, temptation, that would mean we have an occasion to have a temper. How many of us every day will have an occasion in our daily walk to have a little bit of a temper? So therefore, not, Dad's back there, not me. Uh-huh, we know better. So again, temptation. But then it also, he also says, but deliver me from people. So again, like I said, it seems to be funny, but there's a lot of truth in the fact that we do deal with temptation, okay? And we've all learned as human beings that at one time or another, someone's going to hurt us, you know, emotionally, or someone's going to betray us, or someone's going to make us angry, right? So there's a time when we might see applying that temper is justifiable. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And sometimes when that happens, we lose our temper. That's the time to realize that we're in temptation, like this little boy says. And then also, at that time when we're dealing with temptation, we don't want to be around people, do we? We kind of want to lick our wounds a lot of times, right? Or, unfortunately, I remember in Bible school, they'd say, when you have an issue going on in your life, what's the very first thing you do? Now, and be honest, some of them said, well, I call mom, or I call my husband, or I call my sister, or I call, you know. No, we should be calling God first, but the Lord, you know, and I'm good at it too. I'll call somebody. You know, if something's bugging me or whatever, I'll call somebody. The first person I need to be calling is him. And, you know, and that goes along with this temptation thing. We need to, as Christians, you know, that's one of the biggest tests that we deal with as Christians is betrayal. Okay? Here's a good example of a betrayal. True story. The story starts about this loving pastor who encouraged a young, gifted teenager to go to Bible school. Okay? He even arranged for finances for this young man to go to Bible school. Okay? And he mentored him. And in fact, once he graduated, the pastor encouraged him to come occasionally and minister to his parishioners. Well, unfortunately, this young pastor, this new pastor, let pride and envy and jealousy get in the way. And what did he do? He started working on the parishioners. And he started giving them insinuations about this pastor, the older pastor, and criticism about this pastor, to the point where this pastor, who ministered to this young man, financially helped him, and yet the pastor walked out. He left, you know, under, you know, not angry. He just left. His heart was broken because a lot of people followed this young man and believed what he was saying. So not only was he betrayed by this young a graduate now of Bible school, he was somewhat betrayed by some of the parishioners because they believed what this young man was saying. So again, we, you know, as pastors, we deal with it, but so do you. Here's a good example. You know, some of us are still working, and sometimes we have a coworker that might betray us or make us angry, or you know, they're jealous of the fact that you're very effective in your job, or they want your job or whatever, and they'll do anything they can, no matter what it is, to get that. So I'm sure that all of us in some respect deal with betrayal. And Jesus knew all about betrayal because he invested 3 years into these 12 disciples, and one of them was Judas. Judas had taught him, He had performed miracles in front of Judas. Judas saw it with his own eyes, these miracles. And he even washed the feet of Judas. And yet, Judas sold his allegiance for 30 pieces of silver. He sold his allegiance to Christ for 30 pieces of silver. When Jesus predicted this, and this is what, Lois is going to read the first one out of John 13:18. This is when Jesus predicted his own betrayal. And this is what he said. And Lois is going to read that, and then Tim will read his after that. Go ahead, Lois. Yes, I'm sorry, 3:18, yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, no, it's 13:18. Did I say 13:18?
You said 13:18.
Okay, that's it, yes, yes.
Hang on.
Sorry. Who's he talking about right there? He's talking about Judas. But just think about it. When one week, the week before, they were praising and worshiping and giving him all these hallelujahs, Hosanna in the highest, and yet those same people were saying a week later, crucify him, crucify him. So it was one betrayal after another after another. But then, think about it. What he says there, what Lois just read, is the same quote that David wrote in Psalms. Go ahead. The same idea. Listen.
Psalms 41:9. Even my close friends whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me.
Think about all the times that Jesus quoted Scripture, that what was he doing? He was confessing something that was said 400, 600 years before, you know, and how people cannot say that this isn't the Word of God. So knowing that Jesus was going to be betrayed, Jesus still continued to do the work of the Father. He still moved forward. And the reason this happened to Jesus is to show us the example of, all right, I was betrayed. Now what am I going to do? Am I going to pack up my suitcase and go home? Or am I going to keep staying focused, totally tunnel vision on what God has called me to do and fulfill that calling that he's called me to? That's the first thing Satan wants to do, is stop us in our tracks so that we do not move forward. And if it's a simple thing like betrayal, or a simple thing like, well, they hurt my feelings, that brother in the Lord said this about me, I'm not going back to that church anymore. Or this one does this better than I do, I'm not going back there anymore. If there's those simple things, that's exactly, Satan knows how to turn those knobs with you emotionally. So we have to, the word temptation, we have to be on guard for that. Because there's so many ways that Satan has got, he niches in there, you know, he slimes his way in there. I remember when in Spring Valley, when I had the home in Spring Valley, we had all this rain. And all the rain came, and it was so much it couldn't, the grass wasn't going to absorb it. And I had window wells, but they were only this high. The rain came down so much that the water came in over the window well, came down my basement windows. I had about a foot of water in my basement in a matter of 10 minutes. Now, the reason I share that story is because a couple of weeks later, you know, of course, you know, we got it cleaned up and everything. A couple of weeks later, I found a dead snake in my basement. Yes, there's a lot of snakes in Spring Valley. But that snake had to have come in when that water came in. They'll find a way to get in. Thank goodness my cat got to it before I found it, because the cat killed it. But anyway, that's what I'm saying about Satan. He will slither his way in, and he will get you put in a position where you're dealing with temptation. Okay? So, here's a good example of that. Another good example. Remember the Old Testament? Start talking about Joseph. When he was betrayed and done wrong and hurt and harmed by his brothers, by Potiphar's wife, and also by the cupbearer. okay? The cupbearer who was released, okay, he got released. Joseph requested to cupbearer, he says, hey, when you go before Pharaoh, remind him that I am in here and that I'm innocent and release me. Well, what's he do? The cupbearer gets out, he's reinstalled into his office, and he forgets all about Joseph for 2 years. And chances are he would have kept forgetting about Joseph, but the Pharaoh had a dream. So that, oh yeah, there's this guy that does interprets dreams. Oh yeah, I know that guy, he's in jail. Well, bring him here. Otherwise, he'd probably still been sitting there. So, but the great thing we learn from this story is God turns around those things that are meant for evil. God turns around for his glory, for his good. So everything that went wrong with Joseph, every bad thing that went wrong with Joseph, God turned it around. He trusted that God would take care of it. Guess what? Just like I said to the kids this morning, God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it for Joseph, he's going to do it for us. I'm going to go through a few of these. There's a number of them. I found at least 20, but I'm only going to name a few of them to you, of people who were betrayed. Of course, how about Satan? He betrays Eve, right? Satan tells Eve that if she eats of the tree, she will be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay? So she's betrayed. Cain betrays Abel by murdering him. Why? Because Cain's actions were driven by jealousy. Because why? God rejected his offering over Abel's offering. Cain's offering was not given with the right heart. Abel's was. It's not the item that was given. You know, and that's when I first read that, I go, well, why was Abel's better than Cain's? You know, he's God. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do where his heart was at. Where was his heart? Where was Cain's heart? He had jealousy in his heart. So Joseph, again, we'll go back to that for just a second. You know, we know that Joseph's brothers betrayed him out of the book of Genesis. They sold him into slavery after initial they wanted to kill him, actually. And then they were motivated by jealousy and hatred towards Joseph, who was favored by his father. There you go. There's that jealousy. A little bit of jealousy in there, a little bit of envy, a little bit of anger, a little bit of resentment, just enough for that little snake to climb, to slime in there. And then he'll just blow it. And the more you entertain it out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, with that being said, they threw Joseph in a pit, and then instead of killing him, they sold him as a slave. Here's another one. Delilah betrays Samson. Delilah betrayed Samson by cutting his hair while he was asleep, which revealed the secret of his strength. How about Saul's betrayal of David? I never thought of this before, but as I'm studying this, it shows, we knew Saul was jealous of David. We all knew that. What started it was, Saul's killed his 1,000, but David's killed his 10,000s. Well, that would stir up anybody's bucket, right? You would think, okay. So he starts getting jealous, and he's jealous of David's success, ultimately betraying him multiple times. Now, I love this. It says, Saul's actions included offering David's daughter to marry with the expectations that he would go out to war and he would die on the field. And later, Saul attempts to kill him with a spear. Another one, David's not left out in this betrayal thing. He betrays Uriah. You know, he loves Bathsheba. He wants her for himself. Well, Nathanael, the prophet, goes to him and confronts David, and he says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hath taken his wife to be your wife, and hath slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. So, again, you know, David had, he had a heart for God, and yet betrayal still slithered in there. So it has nothing to do with, well, I think I'm above that. I think I'm about, no! If Satan can find a way, he's going to make a way. That's why we always have to be on guard. And we need to have, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to make it aware to us. You know, there's times I'll, you know, it happens a lot, I'll think of something that's not that's negative. And I'll start running off with that. And I go, whoa, where am I going with that? Where am I going with that? So I've said a while back, I go, Holy Spirit, every time that starts, you know, stirring up in me, please stop me so that I don't wander and entertain that thought. And he's been doing so good at helping me with that, especially when I'm driving. Especially if, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how that is when you're driving and your thoughts start wandering off. And he's like, and so the first thing I say when the Holy Spirit reminds me and catches me, I go, Lord, we are to think on things that are good and pure and lovely and of good report. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I'll, you know, but again, it tries to come back. But, you know, it's just something that happens throughout our day. Now, listen to this. I'm going to say these are hard. I had to read them 3 times myself so that I understood what I'm telling you. So bear with me. Betrayal in the Bible is this. When your sense of justice is dialed by envy, okay? So you're the person that's envious, okay? So, again, you're looking for justice and you're dealing with envy. You don't realize that you're dealing with envy, but you feel that you're justified in feeling the way that you do. Even though it's negative, you justified it. So here we go. When your sense of justice is dialed by envy, the bullseye will feel like justice for you. In other words, you're the person that's been hurt. You're the one that's going to justify it, and you're going to shoot out whatever it is that's up here or here that you're trying to target. That target, you want it to hit the bullseye. Well, that could be Tim over here. You want that bullseye to go right, that target to go right there. Okay, let's finish that. Though the bullet will hit the other person as betrayal. So what I've done by my being envy or jealous, and I've taken a target and I've said something that made a dig towards him, I've betrayed him. He's a brother in Christ. He's a brother in Christ. And even if he wasn't a brother in Christ, he's still one of God's children. God created him. So we're betraying. Okay, here's the next one. Sometimes betrayal takes the form of responding with fury in truth spoken in good faith. So if I preached a scripture out of here you didn't quite believe with, or didn't maybe you just didn't understand it, not so much that you didn't believe it, but you didn't quite understand the fullness of that particular scripture, and so you're like, well, I don't understand why she had to bring that scripture up today. Well, maybe that scripture was brought up today because that's something that person needed to hear for that day. And it's rubbing you wrong because you're dealing with anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, doubt, shame, jealousy, betrayal, you know? How many times, I know Eleanor has come up to me a number of times in the last 6 months and said, Bonnie, the word you had today, I needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that today. It really encouraged me. Thank you. And so, you know, again, sometimes betrayal takes the form of responding with fury, okay, with fury, to truth spoken in good faith. So as long as anger and envy, listen to this, as long as anger or envy or jealousy or betrayal or envy or anything negative like that, persists. As long as that persists, so does the potential to want to betray. We're not going to, as long as we keep a hold of it in our little basket, or up here, or wherever, eventually that's going to, fester. And the more it festers, what's it going to do? It's going to come out in betrayal. Okay? Another good example, Saul betrays David. And the thing about when Saul betrays David, like I said, when he tried to kill him, what happens to Saul? Saul is in battle, and they're at Mount Gilboa. And not only does he die on the field, but his three sons are there, and they all die. So we've got to realize that when we're betraying other people, it's not going to just affect us. It will affect our family. It will affect our friends, our coworkers. It will reflect our witness. It will affect the body of Christ, the church family. And none of us want that. There will be people that will come along that will hurt us and will betray us. And we need to be encouraged today, because we don't want to miss the goodness of God. And the great thing about it is that even though a man or a woman or someone, friend, family member, whatever, when they betray us and it's meant for evil, God will still turn it around. He showed us that time and time and time again through Scripture. He gave David, you know, David had to repent. And Joseph, what he came out of. Job, what he came out of. You know, I was, you know, it's your daily, yearly, but you know, your daily devotional reading, and I was in the book of Job, and I was kind of sharing with Bill and one time that, you know, you hear a lot about what Job went through, and he kind of had a pity party, kind of, in a way. And I was laying there last night after I finished chapter 42, it was the last chapter, and I'm going, and he did. At the end, he repents. But before that, for five chapters, he's really pouring out how he feels. But the thing is, he didn't go to his friends. His friends came to him because they're trying to minister to him the best way they knew how. Because he lost everything. He lost everything. And they were just dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. So when he started speaking, you know, woe is me, in those chapters, they're saying, well, God is this and God is that. And it encouraged him some, but yet at the end of the second to the last chapter, a man comes up and says, you're talking to God like this, Job? And then Job kind of gets the light, you know, the light goes on. And he's going, wait a minute, who am I to say that God did this and God did that? Or why are you doing this to me, God? And finally, Job goes to God and he says, I repent. I am sorry. You are the God. You are God and you know it all. And he repents for quite a few scriptures. And then he's got God's attention then. So when we get to that point where we are in temptation, we have to stop ourselves. Just like I do when my mind wanders off to the negative stuff. You got to have the Holy Spirit stop you. Take that time today. Take that time by yourself and say, Holy Spirit, you're part of the Godhead. Remind me that when I'm doing that, stop me. Get my attention. Do whatever it takes to get my attention so my mind doesn't wander off onto this garbage. And get my mind where it needs to be. And that's on you. On what God's best, God's favor, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's everlasting love. So whatever we do today, make sure that we stay away from the place of temptation, because it's dangerous. You know, we are all going to have opportunities or occasions to have a temper. But let's be like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus and get the Father's work done. And before we close in prayer this morning, when it comes to betrayal, there's prayers that we can pray. There's scripture that we can go to that helps us seek healing. Because when we are betrayed, we need healing. We need emotional and spiritual healing. Because chances are the person that betrayed you is someone that knew you pretty well, whether a coworker or a relative or a friend. They knew you well enough to betray you. And that hurts. It hurts deeply. And it's not going to be something you just get over with in a second or days. It might take a long time. It's like Cheryl says, the healing process is like peeling off the a layer of onion, you know, on an onion. So that betrayal that you experience, it might take longer than you want it to. Maybe 5 months ago, I preached on forgiveness. And as soon as I got off of this pulpit and I got into my office, the Lord reminded me, he says, well, then if you're preaching that, you need to practice it. And it still gives me goosebumps. That next day, I got on my phone and I called that person. And I said, would you please forgive me? I had no right to talk to you or feel that way about you. Would you please forgive me? And I didn't get a whole lot of a reply. But you know what? I'm not carrying that weight around anymore. I'm not carrying that. I don't own that anymore. I'm not going to take that and make it be a weight on me anymore. I've done what I was supposed to do. Whatever that person decides to do is totally up to them. Totally up to them. So with that, when we pray, it can also offer up gratitude. When we're praying, just like I said to Chase, when we pray, we're showing God gratitude. We're showing him honor. We're showing him all that we love him, and that the things that we go through, that we're seeking him and his guidance when we're going through this time of betrayal. So let's close with prayer this morning. You know, Lord, as we come to the end of this service today, we acknowledge that there is a pain of emotion. There is a hurt caused by betrayal. And so, Father, we ask for your healing touch upon our hearts and on our minds. We seek forgiveness for any bitterness or resentment that we might hold. And, Father, we pray that we can be released from this only by your hand. And Father, empower us to forgive even as you have forgiven us. Guide us to find peace and strength in your presence and to trust your wisdom as we move forward, finding comfort in knowing that the true fulfillment comes from doing your will. And once we focus on doing your will, that betrayal will just melt away. So Father, we just thank you for this service today. In Jesus' name, let us